Senator Neuberger, was the $22,500 pension plan for ex-presidents passed to encourage President Eisenhower to retire?
Senator Neuberger, will Red China eventually release the 11 American flyers being held?
Senator Neuberger, is there a possibility that you will run for the Democratic vice presidency in 56?
The National Broadcasting Company presents Youth Wants to Know, the unrehearsed spontaneous questions of today's young people.
Hello, I'm Willard Espy of the Reader's Digest, welcoming you to another session of Youth Wants to Know, founded and produced by Theodore Granick. This show, you know, is held under the auspices, and the teenagers participate under the auspices of the American Legion. Now, I'm especially glad to be talking here today because we have as our guest a man who is not only a senator from the state of Oregon, but he's also a magazine man, and I particularly happen to be very fond of magazine men. This man is Senator Richard L. Neuberger. You'll notice, or perhaps you can't tell from there, that I have pancake on my face, but the senator hasn't. Now, this is not a matter to be lightly considered because the senator doesn't believe in pancake, and I would like to tell him that when I was decorated, Senator, they said it wasn't to make me beautiful, it was just to make me tolerable. Now, before we take the questions from the audience, I have a question I'd like to ask Senator Neuberger myself. Senator, you are a magazine man, as I am, and I wonder what you think of the way our magazine press is living up to its responsibilities in educating and informing the American public.
Well, Mr. Espy, I think that one tangible bit of evidence to indicate that our magazines are showing an ever-increasing sense of responsibility is the fact that there's far less fiction in our magazines today than there was about 10 or 12 years ago, and much more factual material on religion, health, economics, politics, government, and things like that. And, for example, this week I'm to have the privilege of participating in a panel that the magazine writers are sponsoring, I think, this coming Wednesday, when we'll talk on the various serious questions of the relation of the magazine press to government. I think all those things indicate a sense of that responsibility.
I see. Does anybody have a comment about that? The young man with the... What is that you have in your vest pocket there? Is that an
eyeglass case?
Eyeglass, yeah.
Senator Neuberger, my name is Ed Gaines. Do you think the news clamp by the Department of Defense is helping the newspapers and the magazines inform the people?
No, I do not, and I disapprove of it. I think that this so-called security blackout in the Department of Defense is more to cover up bungling and blunders than for real security. And I believe the American people, whose sons and daughters, too, are in the armed forces, are entitled to every single bit of information that isn't real military security, and I don't approve of the Defense Department policy.
What sort of blunders do you think they're trying to cover up?
Oh, I think that inevitably, and I say this no sense of being critical, that in a vast operation like the Defense Department, there are blunders about supply, about there have been matters of public health at a camp in New Jersey, and so on. We've all seen that, and I think the people are entitled to know those things, and I don't believe in covering them up.
You have a further question on that?
Yes, Senator Neuberger, my name is Barry Bronfen. Do you feel there are further clamps and cover-ups in other departments, or can the American public get all they want from any department of our government?
I think that there are not enough press conferences by the heads of departments. I think there is not enough information made available to the Congress and the people in general from the various departments of government. That's my opinion.
Question from the young man in the rear.
Senator Neuberger, my name is Philip Coulter. Do you think that the creation of a temporary government bureau to distribute the new polio vaccine of Dr. Salt is advisable?
I think it's not only advisable, I think it's very necessary. I feel that the vaccine to date has not been distributed according to any rhyme or reason. For example, it's not gone to the doctors who necessarily have children patients or pregnant women as their patients, and these are the people most susceptible to polio. In addition, I have letters from people in my state, which is a vast rural state, that the vaccine isn't getting into the farming areas where people are remote from doctors, for example. And children in a rural area are just as susceptible to polio as those in a great city. One of the worst epidemics was in Idaho in a farming area, and I believe that an agency is urgently needed, or the Public Health Service could do it. That's the agency which should do it.
But, Senator, don't you think that the creation of such a bureau might eventually lead to socialized medicine?
I certainly do not. For example, if we had a terrible polio epidemic, which God forbid, the government would have to get in. So I think for the government to get in into the distribution of a vaccine which might prevent, and we hope would prevent any such epidemic, is just as justified. We've had the government in bad epidemics coming in with the facilities of the public health service, and we don't have socialized medicine. I think it's a necessary step.
The young lady there has a further question on that.
Senator Neuberger, my name is Mary Foley. If American children aren't getting the vaccine, how did Mexico get a large shipment of it?
Well, I've been disturbed about that, and I've understood that there are some in Puerto Rico, Mary, and it all shows that the government has been very lax and has not lived up to its responsibilities. I think when these various preparations, all pharmaceutical preparations have to be licensed by the government in the beginning. When the manufacture of Salk vaccine first was licensed, I think the government should have had very strict controls to see that these got only the first shipment got to the people who are the most vulnerable, which are children in certain age groups and expectant mothers. And that's where it should have gone, and it hasn't gone there.
Well, do you think there's any chance of a black market on the vaccine?
I certainly do. And I think that in many instances, I think one magazine pointed out, for example, that certain doctors are getting it who are favored customers of drug houses rather than the doctors whose patients are most susceptible. That certainly proves it.
The young man with the black tie there, did you have something on that?
Senator Neuberger, my name is Billy Walters. And then do you agree with Secretary Tobey's policy that the state should control the distribution of the vaccine?
Well, Billy, I'm glad to answer your question because you're one of our page boys up in the Senate, and I recognize you. No, I don't agree with Mrs. Hobby. I think that a matter epidemics and polio germs or polio virus, whatever it is, does not respect any state lines, Billy. It's a national problem, and it should be handled by the United States Public Health Service, and I don't agree with Mrs. Hobby's hands-off policy.
On the same subject?
Yes. Senator Neuberger, I'm Donaldson Smith. Senator Neuberger, can you explain the secrecy which has been covered of the panel who is investigating the disturbance about the Salk vaccine now?
No, Donaldson. I think that the people are entitled to all the facts on the Salk vaccine, just as on our Defense Department. I do think this. There should be no sense of panic. I'm not a doctor, obviously. I have confidence in the vaccine. But I think there's been a great deal of bungling and a great deal of misinformation, and I blame most of this on the way that the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare has mishandled it.
Well, there's been a great scare that the vaccine might be producing polio itself lately. Do you think that that was the fault of the laboratories that manufactured it, or is the formula basically wrong?
Well, of course, you're asking me a question, as you know, that only a doctor very skilled in this particular disease could answer. The only thing I can say from what I've read is this. I believe that the vaccine is reliable. I believe that the difficulties we've had is from one batch made by one particular laboratory. But I blame the government for not screening it more carefully in the incipient stages.
Well, how can we avoid these further mistakes in making up the batches and so protect our people, which is, after all, the vital function of our government?
I think the United States Public Health Service, which was created many years ago to protect the health of the American public, which includes American children, should step in and rigidly screen and inspect and supervise the distribution of all future batches or manufacture of Salk vaccine.
Thank you, Senator. And now, before we take the next question, I want to have the question of the week spoken and announce the winner of the week's 30-volume set of the Encyclopedia Americana, America's first and oldest encyclopedia. The winner is Mrs. Guy Wilson of 643 Southeast 5th Street, Belglade, Florida. And the station, to be named the Americana Station of the Week, is WIOD, Miami, Florida. For details of the contest, listen for the announcement at the end of the program. And now, let's hear the winning question.
Senator Neuberger, my name is David McMillan. Do you think the United Nations trusteeship over Formosa would solve the present crisis in the Far East?
David, I don't know. I know a senator is supposed to have the answer to everything. The only thing I can say is this. The United Nations was created to protect the peace of the world. As long as the United Nations has custody of a question, it seems to me the likelihood of war immediately breaking out is unlikely. I am not sure that UN trusteeship would be the ultimate answer, but I think that in the present tension in Formosa, that it would be one step forward toward preventing war in that very tense situation.
Young man in the blue suit has a question on the same subject.
Senator Neuberger, my name is Edward Sharp. Several Far Eastern countries have accepted Chow's invitation to visit Red China. Does this mean that Chow succeeded in winning the confidence of the Far East at the Bundang Conference?
Well, I just honestly don't know. The fact that these nations have accepted the invitations, again, I just don't know. The only way I have always felt about all these international questions is this. It seems to me that a conference can't do a lot of harm, and it might do some good. And it seems to me so imperative to prevent an atomic war which could destroy us all and end mankind and end our civilization that, again, I repeat, as long as the leaders or the delegates of a country are talking with other countries, the likelihood of war is slightly more remote. So I favor any possible friendly intercourse and discussion between the nations that is possible. For example, I hope that those Russian farmers would visit Iowa and see our great American farms and see that the Russian propaganda about intolerance and hatred and poverty in the United States is not true and see for themselves. I think it would have been a step forward in toward trying to get friendly relationship between the Russian people and the American people.
Senator, in that connection, did you notice the story in the Times, I believe yesterday morning, about the Russian version of the Iron Curtain? There was a large cartoon, apparently in Pravda, which showed the American Iron Curtain. And they listed several things, among them these boys who were supposed to come over to Iowa and some students who were supposed to come over but would have to be fingerprinted before they came over. Have you any comment about that?
Well, I didn't see that, but of course we know this from everything we've read, Mr. Espy, that the Russian people are not told the truth about the United States. And for example, when I read that these Soviet farmers might go to Iowa, I wrote a letter to the Secretary of State and asked that they come to Oregon and see, for example, that in the Northwest, and see, for example, the Grand Coulee Dam is bigger than their own great Dniprostroy Dam in Russia, and to see our lumber industry. They've been told about terrible conditions, working conditions in our lumber industry, to see how many of those men have children that go to fine schools, that have their own cars, and have a higher standard of living than they have in Russia. It seems to me that that would do more to refute Soviet propaganda than almost anything else.
Young man with the glasses case.
Senator, going back again to Formosa, do you think we should risk a war with Red China over Formosa?
Well, I again will answer in this way. I don't think we should risk a war with Red China over Formosa. However, I do think we have to remember this, and I want to say this, that I do not think we should try to hold those little offshore islands that are only a mid-iron shot from the China coast. But I think there must come a place beyond which we won't back down, because during the 1930s, I remember, I was a college student then, and we relinquished our, we made a lot of talk about Manchuria, about Ethiopia, about the Sudetenland, about the Rhineland, but each time we would back down. And finally, we had World War II. Now, somewhere there must be a place where we draw a line. Whether militarily it should be Formosa or not, I don't know. But somewhere we have to stand, I think.
Young man in the gray suit.
Well, Senator Neuberger, I'm David Landry. Are you in favor of the United States negotiating a ceasefire over Formosa with Red China?
Well, David, it would all depend on what the terms would be and what would be given in as quid pro quo, as they say. I would not favor any one-side agreement. I am not an admirer of Chiang Kai-shek, and I think that he's been a warlord, and I think that his policies of not letting the Chinese peasants have access to the land were in large measure responsible for his being driven out of China. Yet he is an ally of ours, and if we abandon him utterly, what will other allies think? There's something to think about that, I would say.
Well, sir, do you think that nationalist China should be included in these talks?
I would say this. I would think that if it were possible for us to have serious talks with Red China, I would be willing for us to have them without nationalist China being there. I would want to know what the agreement would be before we would sign it, but just to talk, I can see no harm. I would want to review the agreement and to know the terms before I would say whether I would accept it or not.
The young lady in the white blouse.
Senator Neuberger, I am Roberta Spaulding. Do you think that Red China will eventually release the 11 American flyers being held?
Well, I would say that you know as much about that as I do, and I'd say we also both have the same hopes. I hope that they are. I think that lots of us forget those prisoners, but it must seem a terribly long time to them and to their families. I am disappointed over the fact that Director Hammarskjöld's trip to Red China, you know, the director of the United Nations, that it has not resulted in the release of the prisoners. Yet I do back the president's feeling that we should not blockade the China coast, as some senators advocated, because I'm afraid that that might be an outright act of war. And I think the president is right in not doing that.
Young lady?
Senator, if you're so concerned about keeping squirrel families together, why aren't you doing something about getting these men back to their families?
Well, Mary, let me say this first place about the... you asked me about the squirrels. I was concerned about the squirrels because the squirrels have been on the White House lawn ever since the White House was built, and I thought they had just as much right there as a golf putting green. Now, as far as getting these families back, there's only one thing that we could do to get those families back together, unfortunately, and that might be an act of war. Now, I think it's a dreadful thing, these 13 imprisoned American flyers, but do you think that the president should undertake an act which might lead to war to release them? I'd ask you a question. What do you think?
Well, I think something ought to be done. It isn't just 13. It's a great many. Everybody that comes back from China says that they have a great many prisoners.
I think the president has a terrific responsibility in that, Mary, but what can he do other than negotiate? If he blockades the China coast, that's potentially an act of war. He has a terrific responsibility in this.
Well, if you're not going to get them back, would you at least favor giving the families some compensation?
Oh, I would favor that anything we can do to ease the burden financially and emotionally and physically of those families ought to be done, of course. I realize that's very inadequate, but I would support the president in not risking an atomic war and World War III over the issue. I think the president is right in that, even though we're of different political parties.
The young man with the pink shirt.
Yes, Senator Neuberger, you've recently introduced a bill to require candidates to announce or inform the people watching them on television whether they're using makeup, teleprompters, or toupees. Do you think there are many senators in the Senate wearing toupees?
My bill has nothing to do with toupees. You're misinformed on that. My bill provided that when a candidate for office goes on the air, on TV, and he uses either an artificial device to fool the people into thinking he's speaking extemporaneously when he isn't, or using facial makeup, not that those things are forbidden, but merely the public should be informed. After all, the public is informed now if you're listening to a transcription or a recording. And I want to squeeze the theatrical element out of our politics and get it back to a genuine, straightforward basis.
Okay. Do you think there are a great many candidates that do this? I mean, is there a larger percentage that do or don't?
Well, I don't know what percentage, but a great many candidates for office for the highest offices in the land have been using teleprompters. And the whole reason for a teleprompter is this, is to make the viewing public who are at their TV sets at home think the man is speaking extemporaneously off the cuff when, in fact, he's reading.
Are you, by any chance, Senator, using a teleprompter right now?
I'm not using a teleprompter. I'm not using makeup. Maybe that's why I look so pale. I'm washed out.
Go ahead.
What would this do to the women who are campaigning?
Well, it's facial makeup used... I would like to have you read the bill. It's facial makeup used for the purpose of the broadcast. In other words, it's anything additional. It isn't the normal makeup like lipstick that any woman would use when she's out on the street or in somebody's home or something like that, but facial makeup used particularly for the purpose of that program.
Young man with the glasses.
Senator,
case.
Do you think the politician should inform the audience whether he's using a ghostwritten script or not?
It might be a very good idea. I've been very concerned about the enormous amount of ghostwriting that I see that people... who speak in the Senate and over the radio, take something giving them by some ghostwriter and give it as their own product. I've been very concerned about that, and I've actually thought about it. And I want to inform you I don't use any ghostwritten speeches. Maybe that's why they're not very good, but they're at least mine.
Senator Neuberger, I understand that your wife doesn't quite agree with you. How is this going to affect the women who are in politics in America?
Well, Donaldson, as I said, women can use normal makeup that they use all the time. They just couldn't use something additional. In other words, no woman would go down the street with pancake makeup on. At least I hope not. I hope Ms. Neuberger wouldn't. She's still out in the Oregon legislature, and I haven't asked her about that, but I don't think she does.
A young man with a gray tie.
Senator Neuberger, if Governor Stevenson declines the Democratic nomination for president, will you throw your support behind Governor Harriman of New York?
Well, I've not thought about that. I think Governor Harriman is a wonderful man, has done a fine job as governor of the state of New York. I think the outstanding Democratic nominee, if he'll accept it, would be Governor Stevenson, without any shadow of a doubt.
The young man in the front row.
Well, was the $22,500 pension for ex-presidents passed to maybe encourage President Eisenhower to retire?
Well, it certainly wasn't done that. I don't think so, because... I'm a member of the committee which sponsored it, the Senate Committee on Post Office and Civil Service, and all the Republicans on the committee supported it, and I'm sure they don't want President Eisenhower to retire. It was done for this purpose. The presidency of the United States is the greatest elective office in the world. When a man leaves the presidency, we feel that he should not have to do any sort of task or a task that might be beneath the prestige of that great office in order to support his family and himself. And we feel that the government should maintain some support of a man who's been the head of this great nation. And it was done for that purpose and that alone. I hope the day may come when every ex-president will have a seat in the Senate. Take a look at in England, that great Prime Minister,
Senator,
Winston Churchill.
Time is running just a little short, and I think we'd like to get a number more questions in. So can we have some questions that are rather quick and then quick answers and see how fast we can make it? You want to ask another question?
Oh, yes. Do you think it might have that effect anyway, even though it wasn't planned to?
I don't know. I don't know about the president's financial problems. He's
the
not consulted me.
Senator, my name is Claire O'Connor. What do you think will be the main campaign issue in 1956?
Well, I would just say that one of the main campaign issues will be the way this administration has failed to protect our natural resources.
Young man in the black suit.
Senator Neuberger, my name is Bill Emerson. I would like to know what stand you will take on the agricultural support bill if it's reported out of the Senate Committee on Agriculture.
I believe we should return to 90% supports bill, but I think they should be extended to the family-sized farm rather than the big one-crop farms.
Let's have one of the ladies in the back row there, Rick. The women are getting cut out of this.
Senator Neuberger, I am Barbara Reason. As a journalist, what do you think of journalism as a stepping stone to politics?
I think journalism is an excellent portal to get into politics, Barbara, because it teaches a person to express himself or herself, and it also acquaints you with the problems and questions of the day and the things that disturb people and that the government ought to help to solve.
Just a moment ago, there were a dozen hands up. We'll take yours.
Senator, are you in favor of the National Reserve Bill that will come up in the House of Representatives next week?
I'm not sufficiently informed on the bill. It's only been in the House, and I have not sufficiently studied it yet to know. I'm not in favor of UMT, however.
Here we have a question from the young man with the gray tie.
My name is Tommy Burns. Do you think the price of natural gas should be controlled by the producing states, or should it remain under government federal government control?
Tommy, I believe it should remain under federal control because many of the gas pipelines cross state lines. I think it's a national problem rather than a local problem.
Has the Eisenhower administration helped or hindered the cause of conservation through its national park program?
I think it's hindered the cause of conservation. Our parks have deteriorated to some extent, although they had been deteriorating before, in all fairness, and the Eisenhower administration has favored commercial developments inside the national parks, which has been against national park policy since 1916.
Well, now that the Democrats are in power in Congress, what are you going to do to stop it?
Well, I'm going to do all that I can to stop it. I want to point out that our Democratic control of Congress is by a very thin margin, however, and when
Aren't
we lose
it... Aren't you the margin, Senator?
I think I'm the margin, so you can see how... If not necessarily, I'm not thin, but you can see how frail it is, let me say.
Young man in the back row.
You coincide with President Eisenhower's statement that TVA is creeping socialism?
No, I certainly do not. We've had public power projects since Teddy Roosevelt was president. As a matter of fact, the first ones were built when Teddy was president, and I don't think the man who led the Rough Riders up San Juan Hill was a creeping socialist.
Young lady?
Do you ever plan for an atom power plant for Oregon?
Well, I don't for this reason. At the present time, atomic power is so much more expensive, and water power doesn't use up any resources, whereas atomic power depletes our very limited supplies of pitch blend and uranium.
Young man in the gray suit.
Senator, should the United States support top-level Big Four talks?
I would say so, yes. I agree with Senator George on that policy.
Here we have another young man in the back row.
Senator, since the government is now buying large amounts of surplus farm produce, do you think it is advisable to appropriate more sums of money to create irrigation and reclamation projects, since this really increases the agricultural surplus?
Situation is this. We do not have enough food for the world. We're going to need more agricultural land rather than less as our allies and ourselves expand in population. The surplus is only a surplus because we don't handle it wisely. I think we ought to use it to feed the world and to feed needy people in our own country.
Young man in the pink suit.
Yeah. Would you be in favor of exporting this to other countries around the world and, say, maybe even Russia?
If giving away some of this surplus food would help us win friends and help to stem the march of communism across the world, I certainly would.
Young lady in back?
Senator Neuberger, my name is Rita Aschenbow. How long do you think it will be before Washington will have home rule?
Well, Rita, I don't know. I think Washington ought to have home rule now. I think it's ridiculous to have the capital of this great free nation unable to govern itself. Why, when I told that to some friends of mine when I visited the Canadian capital, Ottawa, they wouldn't believe it.
Young man to the right here.
Senator, what do you think about women in politics?
Well, I have a wife who, as the last three elections, has led the ticket for the Oregon State Legislature, so if I didn't say I were in favor of it, I'd sure be in the doghouse at home.
Young lady?
Do you think the president will veto the postal pay increase bill?
Well, I hope he doesn't. Naturally, I couldn't tell you, but I hope he doesn't because I think our postal workers are entitled to a 10% pay increase. That's my opinion.
Young man in the gray suit.
Senator, why has Congress been playing politics with this postal pay raise bill?
Well, I don't know whether they've been playing politics or not. If a man favors 10% or another man favors 7%, that's just their views. It's easy to call it politics. I think that, as I say, it's a totally young lady.
One more question. Young man in the black suit.
Do you think that Commissioner Corsi was just in his accusation that Mr. McLeod was trying to sabotage the immigration bill?
Well, I don't know about the personalities involved. I've never met either of them. But I think the State Department has handled very poorly the immigration relief law and has done a very bungling job of it.
Do you think Alaska and Hawaii will be admitted to the Union this session of Congress, Senator?
I hope they will. They should have been admitted long ago. Both of them are entitled to statehood, and what I can do about it, I will work for statehood.
Well, I wish we had time for more questions, but we're going to have to cut this off now. Thanks, Senator Richard L. Neuberger of Oregon, for this very provocative discussion and for providing the answers that youth wants to know.
Thank you, Mr. Espy.
Next week, our guest will be Senator Clinton Anderson, Democrat of New Mexico, chairman of the Joint Atomic Energy Committee. And now, this is Willard Espy of the Reader's Digest, speaking for Theodore Granick and bidding you goodbye.
The questions you have just heard asked by the youngsters are entirely their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the American Legion, Youth Wants to Know, or the National Broadcasting Company. Would you like to submit a question and have it answered by the guest speaker on Youth Wants to Know? If your entry is chosen as the most provocative, timely question of the week, the producer of Youth Wants to Know, in cooperation with the editors of the Encyclopedia Americana, will award you a 30-volume set of the Encyclopedia Americana and name your local radio or television station the Americana Station of the Week. To participate, simply mail your question together with the name of your station to Youth Wants to Know, NBC, Washington 8, D.C. In case of duplicate entries, the one bearing the earliest postmark will be chosen. Contest entries should be postmarked no later than Thursday of each week.
Today, as you know, is Mother's Day, the day set aside each year to honor our mothers. But did you know that this is also the beginning of National Girls Club Week? And this is more than coincidence, too, for, as you can see, no more appropriate time could be found to think of the girls of today, since, after all, they will be the mothers of tomorrow. And as such, they'll exert the strongest single influence upon the character of future American citizens. For the vital roles they must play, our girls should have the finest, most complete preparation their community can provide. And that is the primary purpose of the Girls' Clubs of America. Through a comprehensive program of handicrafts, homemaking, sports, and other activities, to teach little girls how to live with other people, help them to develop a spirit of mutual cooperation and self-respect, the hallmarks of good citizenship. That's what thousands of little girls are getting this week and every week through the Girls' Clubs of America. Their motto is, girls are important, and they're doing a mighty important job for our girls. So help support the Girls' Clubs of America every chance you get. For reprints of today's discussion on Youth Wants to Know, send 10 cents to Ransdell Incorporated, Printers and Publishers, Washington 18, D.C. That's Ransdell Incorporated, Printers and Publishers, Washington 18, D.C. Youth Wants to Know is presented as a transcribed public service by the National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the National Public Relations Division of the American Legion. This program of Youth Wants to Know was produced by its founder, Theodore Granick, and came to you from the NBC studios in the Sheraton Park Hotel, Washington, D.C. Maurice Higdon speaking. This is the NBC Radio Network.